I would like to read tonight a few scriptures together. And the first is found, some of them have been read before, but it's on my mind, so we'll read. In Luke's Gospel, please, and chapter 2. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2, please. And verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. Verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now turn to the book of Acts and chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts in chapter 2. And verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and with wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now turn back to Matthew, please, and chapter 22. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll just pick up the one verse, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to read just verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner, and him into heaven. One final reading in Philippians, please, and chapter 2. And the end of chapter, verse number 8, Philippians 2, says, And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that's all we'll read. There's one other verse I refer to, by the help of God, that comes to mind as we preach the gospel tonight. What I want to present to you again, very simply is this, the person of the Lord Jesus. Last night we looked at his face. I want to look at his person tonight, very simply, at the beginning of this meeting. After all, he's the most wonderful, person in the universe. We can never be able to have words to describe him, neither can we understand this person that we present in the meeting. He's beyond human comprehension. Yet the Word of God unfolds constantly and continually lessons and pictures of him. And I want to look at it this way, very simply, if you'll follow me. You know, I've preached this before, so don't worry about me repeating a little. I always take refuge under that dear man, Moorhouse, who preached in John 3:16, 7 nights, and God blessed even last night, even Mr. Moody was blessed under his preaching. So we're just going to preach these things tonight, very simply, that you might understand your need of him. We have the Savior announced. The Savior announced. That was the most remarkable event when the angel from heaven announced, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And when the announcement was made, we find the choir of heaven burst forth with praise. Nothing, they could do nothing else, friend, for here was one born who was the creator of the universe, who was timeless in his being, and yet he's now an infant in the arms of a Mary. And so we'll find the announcement of Christ, the announcement of the Savior. What I want to really underline in your mind, very briefly, is this, that the amazing thing that the Savior was announced, who's the creator of the ends of the earth, who's the eternal Son, yet rejected by the world. You mark that, friend, because tonight that's most important. People hear about the Savior. They read about the Savior. They sing about the Savior. Yet within their hearts they've rejected him. Rejected him. The world has never changed from the day that Christ was born, even prior to his birth, but especially from the day he was born, friend. The world rejected Christ. No room for them in the end. And friend, tonight, that's where we stand in 1995 at the close of a series of gospel meetings. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified. Not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. I wonder tonight if you ever stopped and pondered the tremendous announcement by that angel that was sent from heaven, God's holy messenger, to say, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy." The good tidings is in the background of a black, dark background of man's guilt and man's sin, friend. That's why he came. How fruitless it would have been, friend. How futile it would have been for Christ to be born in a manger, announced by angels, and the choir to sing that heavenly song, "Glory to God in the highest." If man was not in need, because God could see. You see, we look at it from our perspective, and we think we're all right. We think, well, if we do the best we can, we think, well, if we go to church, we think that we reform our ways, or make a last plea when we come to the end of life, somehow, some way, God will accept us into heaven. Friend, tonight, please get a hold of this. A very important feature I want to leave with you. Friend, it was absolutely, and I said reverently, a blunder for Christ to be born. If there was any other way men and women could approach God and get to heaven. Now mark that down, friend, just as a simple statement, but I hope you get a hold of it. What God is always trying to impress us when he presents his Son is this, that he's the only way. He's the only Savior. He's the only passport to heaven. There's no other way. And so we have the Savior announced. When we look at Bethlehem, that child wrapped in swaddling bands, and there in the manger, no less, Almighty at his birth, than on the throne supreme, his shoulders upheld heaven and earth, while Mary held up him. There's a mystery about Bethlehem. And I love to think about it and ponder it and worship him, friend. But there's a real mystery that the God of eternity is in human flesh. And we have to leave it as a mystery. We can't plumb its depths or understand it, friend. But we bow with absolute childlike faith in the fact that God came down in human flesh to save a world by going to the cross. and just be a sinner's friend. He gave himself a ransom for all. Now, again, I'm Savior. I want you to notice him as he moved. The pathway of Christ is so delightful that the same writer, Luke, takes up his pen and he says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved, an approved Savior, approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you by him. In other words, he brought his credentials with him. He wanted the world to understand, I'm human, but I'm God. I live like every other man. I have a house, I stay in the bed, I eat, I drink, I walk, I talk, but I'm different. I perform miracles, I brought my credentials to prove to you that I am the Son of God. My friend, yet with all that he proved, and all that he did, men still despised him. That's why Isaiah takes up his pen and prophesies so clearly, so definitely, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He is despised and rejected of men. Friend, that's where it is tonight in the world. Walk up and down by the people, no matter where you travel, friend, you'll find I wouldn't want to live, friend. I wouldn't want to live one moment without knowing that I was sure of heaven. Friend, I know it tonight. I don't think people would say, awesome. My friend, it's not in my mind, it's in the book. And because it's in the book, Christ is in my heart. My friend, it's not something we've concocted in our mind. This is reality, the only reality. And when we look at Christ in his life, he brings the credentials of his power and works the miracles and raises the dead and gives sight to the blind and he walks on the water and he stills and calms the waves. And the waves. My friend, all that he did was only telling man, I am really God among you. You remember what he said in John chapter 8? Before Abraham was, I am. I am. My friend, he's the eternal God. He's the Son. He's everything. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, first and last. Thank God. Approved. Marked out. God has attested, right over did he say, this is my beloved Son, in whom are all my love. You know, friend, when God looked down in this old world of ours, nothing but strange and sin and rebellion and kindness and force and prejudice and animosity. He looked down one day and saw something. All his parts are out. That's the one approved of God among you. Oh, you've taken them by wicked hands, crucified and slain. He tells them that. He charges their guilt. That's the very one that brought the credentials that he was the Son of God, friend. They actually took and crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. My friend, I hope tonight you'll come. We keep talking about it. You can't be right about it. Unless you've been right there before. My friend tonight, could you ask yourself the question in this hall, right at the side here, right down to the back, what think ye of this Christ, friend? The announced Savior. The approved Savior. I want to look at Matthew 27. The abandoned Savior. The abandoned Savior. That word, forsaken, is a word for abandonment. And friends, I want to stop there. I want to work softly and cleanly. And I'm hoping the power of the Holy Spirit is something of a mystery. That God would forsake, abandon his whatever thought, wonder. The one that
for the one God and the Son were absolutely.
But I am a worm and no man. I approach of men despise me. And friend, that woman God tells me in those lonely hours, I want you to get a hold of it. This is where it comes.
This is where you can step up and appreciate where that shame that was abandoned when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,
or Eloi, lama sabachthani, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was happening, friend? Please get it. I know it's emphasizing nightly, but we cannot help but emphasize it. Friend, when he was abandoned, what was happening, God was taking a dealing with him instead of me. I should have been abandoned. I should have been forsaken. I should have been left in my sin and eternal loss. But thank God there was one who was willing to die in my stead and so unworthy might live. On the way to the cross, he was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive.
Tread the dark Calvary. Thank God for the great message from the cross tonight. That Christ, the Savior, was abandoned.
Lord, that I would not.
You see, let me say this very quickly. There's a lot of people, and I'm not putting up against the wall, but at the same time, friend, we have to be real. There's a lot of people saying, well, I give my heart to Jesus, and well, that's...
Friend, I don't know how you can give your heart to Jesus. My friend, your heart and my heart completely degraded. Your heart and my heart, there's nothing in it but a cesspool of iniquity. Listen to what the divine record says. The heart is deceitful, above all things desperately wicked. I can't do that, friend. And then some people say, well, I'll sign this little card. And I says, here, there's a big picture over home, you know, and he's gone to heaven. Mr. Love was his name. But he went into a meeting one night and this preacher was took by his pressure. And he went to one man and he said, you like to say, yeah, I'm right. Well, read this here. He didn't believe in the Son. Do you believe it? Half the rest, I do. He said, just here. Now, and he went over to Mr. Love with the young man and he said, hey, now what do you say about him? Well, that is it. I like it a little tougher. Then he says, here to be first. He doesn't believe in the Son. Half of it has to let you believe. Sure. You're saved. He says, I'm not saved. He had enough common sense, friend. It's not a little part of mine. Salvation's real, friend. When a man is in the brink of eternity and his sins are taking him into a lost eternity, he will put out the hand of faith to grab the lifeline. What's the lifeline? Christ's death for me. Oh, friend tonight, do you go back to that time, that moment when that Christ, I've been pondering it for 38 years, I haven't understood it, it's a mystery, it's a wonder, and yet, friend, in simplicity, I've embraced its truth, abandoned for me,
suffering for me, wounded for my life. By the way, he was wounded for my life. That's not the wounds in his hand. Wounded. God took a healing with his father.
God's stroke of that was upon for me.
I see it because God strokes them of him instead of me. Hope you get a hold of that friend. The abundance.
That's the answer for you tonight if you'd like to be saved. The only answer. Calvary's cross. The only refuge, Calvary's cross, the only place. My friend, we point you to the abandoned Savior. Thank God in Acts 1, he's the ascended Savior.
I love that. That the Savior rose the third day from the dead, broke the
bands of death asunder. No power on earth could hold him, no infernal power, no host could hold him, no Roman Empire could hold him, no sail could hold him, no soldiers could hold him. He must come forth in mighty triumph.
He broke the bands of death, and up from the grave he arose. Mighty conqueror, blessed Lord, and remained for 40 days thereafter. You watch them go up.
the same one that was born in Bethlehem, approved of God and abandoned upon the cross. He's now ascended. You know the last sight they got of him when he went up?
When did it? The last he saw us, he watched him go. He went with us. I just want to stop a moment. Seems to me heaven's already now. The angels are standing back in awe, wonder.
Something's going to come into heaven
that was never there before. The wonder of heaven's going to be absolutely looked upon with adoration. They must have stopped. Their wings must have moved. As we hear a voice say, wonderful. No friend in that. That's to me then there must be a horse.
There has to be. Heaven must. Heaven can't contain itself. Sometimes I feel we're half dead.
People do. I'm sorry.
Myself. I'm not sure about myself.
Half dead. You know, heaven must have just absolutely burst forth ecstasy and praise and wonder and worship. And hallelujahs as they saw a man in glory. And his hands are bearing marks. And his feet in his side. I don't think he's any stars upon him, friends. It's not my reckoning of this book. I think the only wounds in heaven are the wounds of his hands, his feet, and his sides. His face will glow with splendor and glory.
Hallelujah.
Excuse me. Send it. That's the one I want to see.
Of course, let me close with this. Yet, I sent the acknowledged Savior.
Your friend, I may not have got the whole, I'll just use it as best I can. It's a quotation from Isaiah 45 concerning God.
It gives the deity a price because it's God in Isaiah 45 in Christ in Philippians 2.
And Isaiah 45, God says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear to me. That's what God says.
Now in Philippians, the writer takes it up showing the absolute deity of Christ. That God and Christ are one. And here's what it says. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Could I give you a little version here?
I'm not up in Greek and Hebrew, but I'll give you a little bit over here that might help you. In Isaiah chapter 52.
Behold, my servant shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. Can you grasp it? Behold, my servant shall be exalted.
He shall rise. Both the fires asunder. I can see him doing that. Everything has to go under his power.
He shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall ascend.
And yes, it's going higher. Going higher.
And it seems the writer touches the peak, the climatic moment, when he says it's good. And be very high, or another translation, he shall be made high exceedingly.
What he said? This person takes the highest place in hell.
You know why?
Because he died at Calvary and won the victory. He won the victory to put away your sins.
It's a wonderful story. As I conclude my message, friends,
every need to bow, and every tongue can say, I've done it on earth 38 years ago, and this came back every night, and I'm running back, as just seems to happen yesterday anyway, running back on the roadside where I acknowledge Jesus as Lord.
Yeah, wonderful, isn't it?
And I am looking forward to the day when this little mouth get a perfect voice box.
We'll all get perfect voice boxes over on the other side. And harmoniously blending together, we'll say Jesus is Lord. But friend, what about the sinner? things in heaven. Things on earth. All our sin, all our hand, dying without Christ, we're going to have to acknowledge. I want to speak just softly right now. There are people in hell that are sitting in meetings of you sitting right now. And they heard preaching much better than what they did. Friends have heard of Christ. He's dead in your direction. He's not. They're down in hell. And that's from the home. You know, I'm going to say something, I said it before, I hope you get it. They would be good at first, and never be wrong. And they live, and die, and live in hell. But only doom is now. Slip out of life, and into eternity. And friend, you have no Savior, no hiding place, no Christ, no hope. Why do you ever stop and say, I know you're healthy and well. Tomorrow you can be any time. And what a solemn wheel to come from your heart. I lost because I didn't accept the one that died for me on the cross. May God help you as I quote. This person said, down to as many as received him, the accepted Savior, to them give you power to become the children of God, even to them that believe.